We're going to talk about correction. What I'm getting ready to do to you. Correction. Proverbs 27. Let's look at 5 and 6. I'm looking at the wrong... I'm on 27. All right. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6 says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Kids, we're talking about manners. Trying to give you a little bit of instruction on manners here. The wisest man on earth said, outside the Lord, but at the time, who was this? Who wrote this, man? No. Who's the wisest man to live besides the Lord, obviously? He was the king of Israel.
Simeon?
No.
Isaac?
Allie?
Solomon.
He wrote, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." When somebody corrects you and tells you no, don't do that, Lightning. Like right now, put that down, Lightning. To correct you, the Bible says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." That means when somebody really loves you, they'll correct you. These people that think, "Oh, I love my child too much to correct them," that is the bunch of biggest garbage. The devil's got them so full. He says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." When your mom and daddy tell you what to do, and they rebuke you, they chasten you, they correct you, when your teacher corrects you, you say, "Well, it hurts my feelings." Well, you know what? If somebody doesn't correct you and tell you that no matter how much you want, 6 times 4 to be 34, it's never going to be right. Shouldn't do that. I'm just saying. Just give an example. If somebody doesn't correct you in life, then when you go to try to balance your checkbook, or you go trying to figure out your taxes, or you trying to figure out how much money you're going to make per hour, somebody says, "Well, I'll pay you $6 an hour, and you get to work 4 hours." You say, "Oh, I'm going to get $34. My teacher told me it's $34 because my teacher never corrected me. They love me." And then when you get that paycheck, and you say, "Well, they're wrong. I know this is right." He says your open rebuke is best. When somebody corrects you, that means they really love you. Now, there's a right way and wrong way to do it. Some people do it now just to be mean. But when your pastor does it, trying to get you to sit still in church, he's doing it because he loves you. Okay? Verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." A real friend will tell you the truth even when it hurts. Okay? He says that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Listen, it may hurt at first. It may hurt when somebody corrects you, but it'll make you a better person in life. It'll give you some character. Like right now, hey, I'm up here. Okay? The reason that I do that, the reason I'm trying to do it, because I care about your soul. If I didn't care about your soul, I'd tell you not to pay attention. I'd tell you to do whatever you want to. But I care that one of these days, you'll be ready to die when that time comes, and your mom and daddy will know, and your family will know, that you have a testimony beyond the shadow of a doubt. See, these bunch of preachers that we got running around our daytime, I just want to preach on the good things of God. I love people too much to tell them they're sinners. No, you don't love them enough. My problem, I love people too much. I don't want to see nobody, even my enemies, even people that hate my guts, I don't want to see nobody go to hell. I believe that Jesus gave the best illustration as far as anybody you'll find. He preached on hell more than anybody else. But I don't even believe that even with what all Jesus said about hell, that it's even entered into our minds how bad it really is. Some people think, we'll
get out of there eventually. No. Yeah, one of these days you'll face a great white throne of judgment and you'll be thrown into a lake of fire. Correction. When people correct you, when your parents correct you, yes, they do it for two reasons. They want you to see it. They want you to be a better person. But they also correct you because they love you and they don't want you to embarrass them out in public. My children did not get the... My kids, you can ask my oldest, she knows, and she knows the old other three. My children did not get down on no floor and pitch a fit and throw their arms and legs. They know what they'd have got if they'd done that mess. Because open rebuke is better than secret love. Somebody that really loves you will tell you the truth, even when it hurts your feelings. That's a real friend. That's the Lord. The Lord, if somebody is really saved and sinning, God's not going to pat them on the back and say, it's okay, you just keep on living that way. No, if you're really saved, and we do live in grace, I understand that, but if you really are saved, the Holy Spirit of God won't let you just keep getting by with it. He's going to say, that's wrong. He'll say, Alan, when you bulk up and get mad, get that little red-headed temper at your mom and daddy, that you're doing a little bit better job since you made a profession, that's the Holy Spirit of God trying to help you. And if you'll let Him help you, He'll do better than you could ever imagine with your sin. He'll teach you how to stay away from sin. He'll teach you how to abstain from sin. He'll teach you even how to deal with that anger that you got honestly from your daddy. But you got to let Him. You got to let Him. Listen, you got to take that rebuke and you say, all right, Lord, I'm doing wrong. What do I need to do to improve? Same thing. When you're doing something and your pastor or your mom and daddy says, don't do that, you say, okay, what can I do? How can I do better? What can I do, pastor? What do I need to do? You need to sit still, get your notebook, you start taking notes, you say, preacher, I don't know what to write down. I'll tell you what to write down. If you'll listen long enough, you'll hear me give you the title of the message, and then you'll hear me give you the points underneath of there, and as you're making them points, you make a few notes of what I said, but... And within no time, you'll be able to take notes of what's going on. That's how you learn. Then you pull that thing back out and say, preacher just preached on faithfulness. The other day, he preached something on faithfulness. Well, let me pull that out and see what all he said about faithfulness. And you pull it out and you read some of the notes. You're not going to get everything. They say that, unfortunately, I think it's 10%. They say, of what you preach. Y'all wonder why I preach so much. I've been told that you only get 10% of what I preach. So I figure if I preach a lot, and if you're getting 10%, you're getting way more than anybody else in that, and you're 10% than anybody else is getting their 10%. But that's how you correct that. When you're having trouble remembering, you know what? That's your flesh. Don't want you to remember. You pull you out a notebook. I used to take notes. I've took notes. I've wrote in Bibles. There's nothing wrong with it. Just be careful what you write. I got notes in this, very few. But I've got notes in this Bible. Write them down. There's nothing wrong with that. Get you a notebook. Write stuff down. If you start at a young age, by the time you'll be 20, you'll be taking notes, mastered. You'll be able to know. But listen, somebody that really loves you is going to tell you the truth and correct you. It's not always easy. I've had people do it as I was an adult. We know, as hard as it is for you kids, wait till you become an adult and some other adult walks up to you and corrects you. I know it's hard on some people, especially as a preacher, having somebody come in, all these visitors. That's why a lot of these people don't come back, because they think, man, I don't want nobody correcting me. We get a lot of visitors, praise God for it. I'm glad that we do. But a lot of them won't come back because they're going, I don't want somebody correcting me. I don't want somebody telling me drinking's a sin. I don't want nobody telling me that adultery's a sin. I don't want nobody telling me that smoking's a sin or this is a sin. Ain't nobody going to correct me. And then they'll die and go to hell. But they won't go to hell without me telling them the truth. You ought to be thankful that somebody in your life, I am thankful My mom and dad weren't perfect, but I am thankful that I had a mom and dad that refused to let me do what some of these people do, even in my age. Kids, when I was a kid 30 years ago, some of the things kids got by with, we didn't get by with that mess. And I am thankful for it. And listen, one of these days, you'll look back and you'll say, thank God that I had a God-fearing daddy. You'll look back and say, thank God that I had a God-fearing preacher that told me the truth, that feared God more than man. That's why I fear God more than I fear man. That's why I preach the way I do. All right, let's go to Genesis now, chapter 39. That's your manner for the day, talking about correction. Be thankful for it. We're talking about Joseph here. See if we can't get through the rest of this tonight. Genesis chapter number 39. Joseph has been sold into slavery. He's Potiphar's servant. Potiphar is a captain of the guard for an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. Potiphar's wife now is tempting Joseph. And I want to make this clear while I'm thinking about this. Listen, it can happen to men or women. It can. Girls, you better be very careful. Some little dirty boy, let me tell you something. I fear God more than I fear man. And I ain't afraid to go to jail to protect one of my babies. Okay? But listen, it can happen to you just as quick as it happened to some boy. Some little boy can try to advance on you. He can try to do something to you. You know he ain't supposed to. You know what you do? You reach over and you pop him in the eye. That's exactly right. You pop him in the eye and tell him to keep his hands to himself. We've been taught here in church, and I believe it's good. Some little boy comes in here and wants to start courting one of these girls. You know what we teach? We teach they got to put a Bible between them. That's what we teach. And if that boy ain't got enough fear of God, and he reach over that Bible and try to tell, then he don't need to be around you anyway. But look, I'm just warning you. It could happen to you. But I also want to warn you too. Don't give some boy a false impression. Don't give some boy some impression that you do something with him that you shouldn't. I'm telling you, your times are coming. Look, you're developing, girl. Stop saying me. Yeah, I've been there. I'm 38 years old. It ain't been that long since I was a teenager. Girls, listen. That's why we teach you to keep your bodies covered up so some boy can't get the false impression. Now, Joseph knew what hers was, but I'm just letting you know. Don't you give some boy some false impression that you do something that you ain't supposed to. You hear me, young ladies? That goes for you too. You protect yourself. Your body's for one person and one person only. That's the man God intends you to marry. That's it. It ain't for no other sleazy boy. It ain't for some multiple. It's for the one man that God's got intended for you to marry. That's all that body's for. Don't you be doing something. That's why we teach you to keep yourself covered up, so you ain't giving somebody the wrong impression. This woman, Joseph knew what this woman's intention was, but I'm just warning you. We're here now. Chapter 39, verse 13. She's tried. She's tried and tried. Joseph fled. We talked about that. Flee youthful lust. 2 Timothy 2:22. So you can write that down. You write down 2 Timothy 2:22 in your notes, and you put down flee youthful lust. What's flee mean? Does flee mean to walk? No. What's flee mean, Maggie? Run! Get out of there as fast as you can. Get away from there. That's what it means to flee. Flee youthful lust. That's what Joseph did. So in verse 13 now, it says that it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled forth. See what happened? She was mad now because he rejected her advancements. I tell you this because, listen, ladies, one of these days, you may work a secular job And that's why I tell you to be prepared, keep your testimony, whatever it is, that there be other people around to protect yourself. But it may come some time that some guy tries to do the same thing to you. And it'd be better for you to flee and lose your testimony. Don't you? Hey, he may end up trying to turn on you and tell you that you did it. It'd be better for you to save your testimony and quit than it is to be around somebody like that. He fled. Joseph said, it's better for me to leave my garment and keep my testimony than it was to do something with her. And it made her mad. Verse 14, and she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us, for he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lift up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Again, it's better to keep your testimony than it is to go into something just to try to protect yourself. Listen, if you, as soon as you realize you've made a mistake, you ought to correct it. Don't wait till afterwards. Guard yourself. Protect yourself, men and women. Protect yourself. She laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, I want to point out here, I believe Potiphar did what he thought was right. He's protecting his wife. Any man ought to be wanting to protect his wife. But we as Christians and others, either way, we ought to be very, very careful and address it carefully. I told you the story Brother Shepherd told me of a preacher there in North Carolina, that a woman in the church accused the preacher of making pass at her. All she was trying to do was provoke her husband to jealousy and try to get her husband to spend. Rather than just say, honey, why don't you talk to me? Why don't you try to spark that flame up every once in a while. Girls get, why y'all do that? Why y'all kiss each other? Why y'all hold hands? Because we're trying to keep a little bit of spark alive, but you four have diminished greatly, okay? You'll see one day. Tell them. Y'all know. Y'all been there. I'm going to tell you something, though. If there's any advice I can ever give a young married couple or a couple about to get married, that me and my wife learned the hard way that I wish somebody else would have told me, one big long word, communication. Communication. Communicate about your finances. Communicate about your feelings. Communicate about the way you're feeling. It would make a huge difference in my marriage, our marriage, my wife and I, when we first started. The first year, you know, you're walking on cloud nine, they're in that honeymoon stage. And some people last for more than 1 year. And then, but me and my wife, we weren't totally living right. We weren't in church like we're supposed to. We're supposed to save. Tell you what, there ain't the most miserable person in the world, I've been told, I believe it. Most miserable person in the world is a Christian that won't live right, won't do right. God will make them miserable. Me and my wife, we were. And rather than sit down and say, hey, we need to do something about this, we need to get back in church. No, we thought it was okay. Well, then cut almost two years into it, and said, you know what? You know what to make this marriage better, you know? We're fussing and fighting. Let's have a kid. Let's throw a kid in the middle of this. You know how that goes. It was great, and I love my babies, and I love my oldest, but it was dumb for the two of us when we were having trouble to think throwing a kid's going to somehow make the spark. I'm telling you, my baby, make this advice to you, and to anybody else when they get married, communicate. Sit down. The problem, men, we think if you're not saying nothing, everything's great. Women think if you're not saying something, well, you know something's wrong. There's complete opposite there. If we ain't talking, we think everything's great. Well, she ain't saying nothing, so I guess everything's great. You and women are like, he ain't talking to me. What's wrong? Why am I not? What's going on? Why is he not talking to me? See how that works? Yeah, we learned it the hard way. And we still have trouble with that. Joseph or Potiphar could have sat down and talked about this. I don't know. God had a plan for it. God knew what was going to happen. But I'm just telling you because what Brother Shepherd warned me about with what happened. That woman over there that Brother Shepherd told me about, all she had to do was just sit down with her husband. I understand she's trying to provoke him to jealousy, trying to get him to show her a little bit of attention, but going about it the wrong way. Got to be careful with that. Potiphar got so upset, he didn't even give Joseph. There's nowhere it says Joseph even got a chance to defend himself or say. This is the same man that just a few verses ago, Potiphar left in charge of his whole house, taking care of. Potiphar didn't even monitor any of his finances. He so trusted Joseph. Just like that, the trust was broken. That's why it's very, listen, it's hard. It's easy to destroy something like that. It's easy to destroy trust. It's easy to cause jealousy. It's a hard thing to get it back. It's a hard thing to get trust back when it's been broken. It's a hard thing when jealousy has come into a marriage because some man wasn't treating his wife right. She went and some other guy started flirting with her and he found out. She never did nothing other than flirt, which is still wrong, but she gets upset, he gets upset, and it's hard for them to build trust back because of that rather than just taking the time to communicate. If you don't talk to her husband one time, some other woman will. The devil will send some little hussy to come in and talk to him if you don't take care of him. I'm just warning. Listen, men, same thing. Men, if you ain't taking care of your wife, devil will send some other man along that'll sweet talk her. I've seen it. Y'all probably seen the same thing too. Some woman married soon as it's like at the right time, man. The devil just knows. They're having a fight at the house. The next thing you know, she goes in. You know, you saw it on that movie, Fireproof. That you think it's a movie, but I'm telling you, that's what happens in real life. So they'll have some fight, and the man will go to work, and the woman will go to work, whatever, and here comes some other woman along to sweet talk that man. Here comes some man. Well, he don't got a trick. Here, let me buy you some fun. And next thing you know, that's all it takes. That's all the devil wants. The more that the devil can destroy, the more homes that he can destroy, the more churches he can keep in ruins. Homes are the foundation of everything. If you don't have good homes, you're not going to have good churches. You don't have good churches, well, then you end up with a society like we've got right now. Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper it. So Joseph's right back to doing pretty much. He's in prison. He probably doesn't have quite the liberty he had there in Potiphar's house. But God immediately, because he kept himself clean. Clean living goes a long way. Not everything, we talked about this, I think this is it, Romans 8:28. You can go home and look at that. That talks about, you know, all things work to the good. Not everything is good. Not everything in life is good. But God can work it to the good if we'll keep ourselves clean. I've heard a lot of older men say, I don't say the trick, but the one thing that really matters, especially for the ministry. It's not. Now listen, I'm not putting these off. I'm not saying you shouldn't do them, because you should. But serving God in any way, shape, or form that you're going to serve God, there's one key component that matters. Prayer is great, and we should pray. We absolutely should pray. Going to church is great. Studying is great. But the one thing that I've heard a lot of older men tell me and tell congregations is to be clean. Holy living, godliness, keeping sin out of your life will keep the touch of God on your life. It'll help the Holy Spirit to guide you. You won't have to keep cleaning your life up. You won't have to keep confessing sin. It'll keep the fire burning to want to read your Bible, to want to pray, to want to attend church. If you'll keep clean, if you'll keep holiness, godliness in your life, it'll keep the touch of God on your life. You'll want to serve God. You'll want to be used of God. Joseph, though somebody had made accusation against him, he kept himself clean. And immediately God put him right back into another position of authority to be used of him. That's what we have to do. Why do I preach against sin so much? Because keeping yourself clean will help keep the touch of God. Whether you're a preacher, a layman, a Sunday school teacher, a singer, whatever it is. Listen, you want the touch of God on you when you get up here and sing, you get up here and teach, whatever it may be. You even just to go out and witness to people and invite people and hand out tracts, stand at the door and invite and greet people. The trick of it is to be clean, to live holy, keep sin out of the camp. That's what makes the difference. There's been times, listen, when I haven't prayed like I should, studied and read like I should, but I do my best. I'm not perfect at it, but I do my best to keep sin out of my life. That's why I tell you, that's why I'm not alone with other women. That's why I do. My wife has complete access to my phone, has complete access to my computer. I don't hide anything from her because I want her to know that I'm clean. I'm not perfect at it. I get mad. And the Bible says, listen, do you know that you can get angry and sin not? Do you know there's righteous anger? You can get angry sometimes. That's right. Dads can get angry. There's righteous anger, but there's also what most of us do, which is the wrong kind of anger. Jesus got angry and drove all of them out of the temple. He said, be angry and sin not. There's times that you can get angry and not sin. If you're doing it in the right manner, you just got to keep yourself clean. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you've made. Thank you for Joseph and his testimony, God. Even when the woman was throwing herself at him, God, he feared you more than he feared her. And I pray that it would help each one of us, Lord, young and old, to remember, God, to keep ourselves clean before you. Bless tonight, Lord, the fellowship, the food that we'll receive. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness on this place, Lord. As we finish out 2020, Lord, I know that all the problems are not going to just disappear. Lord, any new ones could come in, I don't know. But I just pray, God, that La Crosse Independent Baptist Church would grow, Father. Spiritually, God, these, and I've seen such growth in them, and I thank you for that. I pray they would continue to grow spiritually. Physically, Lord, we would get some new faces in here to see them be saved. Lord, financially, Lord, that we'd be able to, Lord, I thank you for what we've done for the sign and other things, but Lord, we'd be able to do some other things that need to be done to this building, Lord. So financially, I pray that we would grow. As we finish out this year, I thank you, Lord, for 2 years of being La Crosse and what great things you've done. I pray that other sinners would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ this coming year. Lord, I pray greater things would lie in store. These that have been saved and baptized, God, would grow and be used to reach others. Thank you, our Father, that we can call you Father, that we've been born again into the family of God adopted by the Spirit God into the family. Thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name the touch of God would be on this place. The Holy Spirit of God would meet with us every time the church doors are open. And God, we'd be able to take care of our missionaries. The church would grow, Lord, and see great things done in 20 and 21 till you bring us home. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.